Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. White Sox just took 2 of 3 in the Bronx against the playoff-bound Yankees. Tonight, they return home looking to stay red-hot against an even tougher foe, the Boston Red Sox, who have 92 wins and we're still in August. Baseball night in Chicago begins our coverage at 6:30. Jason Benetti, Stephen Stone at the call at 7. Meanwhile, Eloy Jimenez is not here. His agents say that he should, and they're not happy about it at all. Will he be a September call-up, or will the Sox play the service time game? Thank God the NFL preseason ends tonight, and then it's cutdowns. Will the Bears make any shocking decisions? And Matt Nagy's team, are they ready to beat the Packers in Week 1? And welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a really good day. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show from the Tribune. He's our guy. He is Jimmy Greenfield from ESPN 1000 and The Jam. You should watch every morning. He's our guy, Jordan Cornette, who's, by the way, the all-time leading shot blocker in Notre Dame history. Did I get it all in?
You're still surprised that I hold on to that record.
And the Associated Press, he's a veteran scribe. He's our guy, Jim Litke. All right, let's get started. Eloy Jimenez is killing the minor leagues. His agents, none too pleased that the White Sox are not recalling him from the minors to play in the big leagues. So, I ask you guys this. Is he getting screwed over or no? It's business.
I don't feel strongly about it. I'll go first because I don't really have that much of an opinion. I don't think it's going to make a difference. What is this guy going to learn from a month in the majors? What's the ball club going to learn? And then, again, how many of the guys that are playing right now are going to be around him when he does hit his, we assume, his stride?
Well, I think if you're him, yeah, I hear you, Jim, not caring. It's not keeping me up at night when Eloy's going to be in the league. But I'll say this, like, he's crushing it down there. And to everybody, it feels like it's a Bush League move. Like, this guy clearly belongs.
Business kid.
But what's the business side of it?
That he's getting an extra year of control.
But people don't care about that being close to their arbitration anymore. And talking with guys, like, that's not what it used to be, the level of importance to that.
It was with Chris Bryant.
He's going to end up signing a long-term deal.
That for a fact.
There's got to be a pretty strong confidence with the relationship. They should, you would believe, or else business does play a role.
Why is Toronto leaving Vladimir Guerrero Jr., whose numbers are better?
He's been hurt a lot this year.
You've been dealing with injury. This is a perfectly healthy guy who is dominating right now.
It would literally go down as one of the dumbest decisions if they bring him up.
That's a very strong take. It'd be one of the dumbest decisions to make.
Yes, because if I wait till like April 16th next year, I get him all of next year and 6 more.
But then we're talking about the 2025 baseball season now.
Yeah.
When you're going to be paying him $20-25 million, assuming he has the kind of career we expect him to have. The issue to me now is Rick Hahn and his credibility. He has said service time is not an issue. If it's not an issue,
He should be up.
Simple as that.
And why not get the guy acclimated? I do think there's an importance to that. Let him get a feel for in that month left in the season to see what he can do and adjust. So when he comes in next season,
it's a year of control.
Well, so you got to assume that this guy is going to be as good as advertised. Otherwise, we're making a lot of fuss about absolutely nothing. And if he turns out to be as good as advertised, he'll get his money either way. Whether whether they control him that extra season, if he's that good, they're going to want him long term, and they're going to want to lock him up at reasonable money. And so, again, I don't think we're going to learn much.
But part of this, too, is the fun of seeing him play and the fact that the Cubs and Sox play later on in September. And to see him and Kopech against the Cubs would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we can't worry about, in my opinion, throwing cookies to the fans. You got to do what's best for the long-term health of the organization. Despite what they say on the Yankee Law Sports Talk Live poll question, when will the White Sox call up Eloy Jimenez? September, opening day 2019, mid-April 2019. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Because if the Cubs had followed the plan that you gentlemen are eloquently stating, Chris Bryant would be a free agent after 20, not 21. It's nice to have...
What's Chris Bryant going to do in 20 or in 21?
What do you mean?
Chris Bryant's going to end up staying with the Cubs long-term.
You don't know that. they've already have talked about long-term deals, and they can't get one done.
They'll get one done. Okay. He's going to be a Cub for life.
He may sign as a free agent. I don't know that.
And I guess it's look at the same thing. This guy has all the feels of becoming a Bryant when he gets his opportunity. I think the faith is in the fact that he's going to be a long-term White Sox.
You protect yourself. Right, it's business.
And they better lock David Bodie up, by the way. Let's start talking about something that's a little more urgent.
They control him for six more years.
But how do the White Sox justify not having Giménez on the opening day roster? Forget September. How do they justify not having him on their roster on opening day in 2019?
The same way they justified putting Chris Bryant when he led Major League Baseball in home runs in the spring.
They're slightly different situations. Bryant had not had as much time in the minors. They could, I thought, realistically justify. With Giménez,
they could realistically justify bringing him up April 12th.
They're almost identical situations, for sure. But right now, Giménez is – look at the White Sox outfield. I mean,
he's –
What's that?
There's a need.
That's the one big difference.
25 games under. There's no need.
There's no urgency.
That's
what you're getting at here.
The guys who are in the outfield now need at bats. They're not really a part of the future. Giménez is a huge part of the future.
This is such a no-brainer. I am just befuddled by you guys.
Then why is everybody talking about it if it's such a no-brainer? There's people out there that feel
people
like...
people don't care about the business side. But that's Rick Hahn's job, is to care about the business side. I'm serious. If they bring him up,
they
it is
up
the
Kopech.
Single dumbest decision since the Cubs ran Starlin Castro up 2 weeks
but if you're
before
bringing,
they would have not had to pay Super 2 for a
What's the thought
year?
Process in bringing up Kopech?
Because pitchers have a much more finite number of bullets in their arm, one. Two, Rick Hahn met with him last fall and said, here's the plan I'm laying out to you. You do your job. I will bring you up.
And he was
August.
Ready. He did his job, and he was ready.
Correct. They never made that promise to a lawyer.
But if a guy's doing his job and he's ready, why not have the
business.
Same situation?
Oh, business. God.
Give me a break.
It's all about business.
Give me a break.
Again, you can vote right there at NBCSportsChicago.com. But I'll be shocked if this guy comes up.
Can't wait for the announcement. FaceTiming you. Talk
and
smack.
And then let's talk.
I promise you, and I love Rick Hahn. He's been a guest with us a million times, radio, TV. If they bring him up in September, I will look in the camera and say, Rick, I think that's the stupidest decision I've ever heard. I'll say it right to him. Dumb.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens.
Dumb baseball, and they won't do it. I will be stunned if they do that. You'll love it if they do.
I see the benefit in bringing up a star and grooming him right away as opposed to a nervousness that he's 1 year closer to arbitration. I think this guy's going to come in. He's going to deliver at the major league level. It's going to be another – you talk about Bryant in 20 or 21. I've never heard you say there's a nervousness with Chris Bryant and what he's going to do with the Cubs.
That's Scott Boras as an agent.
True, but it's also Chris Bryant, and the guy's performed here, and he's won here, and there's no question, truly, if he's going to be a Cub after 2021. Nobody's really discussing that.
Let's also
keep the same situation with Giménez. It's the same thing.
And the Cubs are now legitimately a top-flight organization. It's not like Bryant's going to say, I want to go somewhere where I got a chance to win. These guys will be the Cubs will be competitive from now pretty much till the end of time. They're in that elite group of teams, which the White Sox have never been sniffing, and so Bryant's going to likely want to stay here, and they'll be able to attract top flight talent for a couple of years because everybody knows how the ball club, the organization, does their business, and I don't think the idea of saving a couple of dollars on Giménez now is kind of too much White Sox-ish, thinking almost forever.
Everybody
and
does.
Also, well, how about this on a business side? You're also potentially agitating your star guy, who then you keep him for another year. It's another year of agitation because he doesn't forget how he was left down there.
Really, 7 years from now, the same pablum out of the mouth of Scott Boras. Hey, now you're ruffling the feathers of your star guy, and here we are. It's completely faded away. It's business.
So now you're not worried about Chris Bryant and Scott Boras, whereas opposed to earlier, you're saying you never know with Scott Boras.
That's what I'm saying to you. That's why I want the seventh year of control. It's a bunch of pablum from an agent trying to make money. That's it. Period. Done.
Bring him up. Give the fans what they want. Let's see him go out there and crush 500-foot bombs.
Thinking like
rate.
A fan, you're an executive, you'll
sitting
be
there
sitting with him.
I get it. I think he's ready. I think you get him out there now.
Oh, that's not a
Don't
question.
Don't worry about it.
He's ready.
He's definitely ready.
No question about it.
I want to see it.
All right, let's move on to the Cubbies. They move on to Atlanta for one game. They will play a makeup game from a rainout back in April, and they're going or May, and they're going to find Michael Fulton-Nevich waiting for him. Mike Montgomery's been activated. He will start for the Cubs. And then they head off to Philadelphia. It's 11 games in 11 days in four different cities. Give me a record that you would think would be satisfactory over the next 11 games on the road.
satisfactory. Mm-hmm. I mean, they come out of it 5-6. They'll be that's fine. You know, I mean, it's some pretty good teams. They're playing on the road. If they're 5-6, and you can't expect the Cardinals and the Brewers to do better than, you know, over the same time, maybe pick up two or three games. Cardinals are going to cool off. They've been pretty hot. But I think the Cubs are, you know, there's every reason to think they'll do better than that.
I don't know. I look at Milwaukee in that series when they're traveling to Milwaukee, and I'd want them to take care of business there. If they're going to get pile up some of those wins in the 11th, I want a lot of them to occur versus that Milwaukee team. I got a great faith in this team now that they've added Murphy and now that they've added Hamels. I'd like to see them go 7-4. That's satisfactory to me. I think you're trying to be realistic and say 5-6 is great. I want 7-4 out of this team. I think they're playing at another level. I'd like to see that gear continue on.
Just don't get hurt. I think 5-6 is fine with me. Come back healthy. These guys just got to get into the playoffs. We're not going to, you know, I think that it's nice they got themselves a little bit of cushion. They got the best record in the National League. All nice things, but don't sweat this yet. I mean, I think you want to get to the end of the season reasonably healthy. You got to take a couple of pitchers to look after. I'm fine.
But they do want to get to the playoffs, but they also want to win the division. It's far more important now, especially since, I mean, you can call Cole Hamels the ace, although I think if they get to the wild card game,
anything can happen.
Yeah, anything can happen. You know, who knows if Joe puts Lester out there or Cole Hamels or whoever might play it. So you don't want to just get in. You really need to win the division.
Yeah. I look at that lineup. I look at what the pitching's starting to do, and I think 5-6 is a low bar, to be honest. I know it's great teams, and I really do have a concern going into that Milwaukee series. I want to see them do good things, especially there. Mm-hmm. But it's 11-game stretch. I think there's no reason to think above 500.
All right. Theo Epstein also shut down any talk about Joe Maddon's job security after USA Today columnist Bob Nightingale said he hears whispers Maddon could be in trouble if the team didn't win the division or make a deep run in the October playoffs. Quote, he's the manager we want. Your guys' thoughts? Because, look, I like Bob. He was a guest on this show last week when we were out at Wrigley. I think he's really good at what he does. But I think that's one of the most ridiculous narratives I've heard.
How greedy have Cubs fans gotten?
Well, who did he run into is the question. Who whispered that is what I'd like to know. I mean, obviously, he shouldn't reveal who that is. But the point is, you know, you have to think of how credible that is. This is like, we're starting to think about our sports now, like the English Premier League. You know, guys go through four managers in a season when things are bad. Yeah. So everybody needs to take a deep breath. Maddon is indeed the right guy. But Theo's exactly right. Theo was probably his biggest advocate to get him here. And I'm pretty sure that relationship is going along fine.
Can you get rid of Jose Mourinho?
He'll be gone in another 2 weeks, by the way. That's just proof of how crazy stuff is up there.
And their new coach will be Zinedine Zidane.
Look at you flexing your soccer muscle.
That a boy.
I almost wonder if this is a personality.
That is international, Cap.
I'm not going to let this go on anymore. The fans watching right now deserve better from a soccer analyst, so I'm not going to let you get into soccer talk.
Tell you,
guy was just in Croatia. He knows his football.
That's how he qualifies.
Give him a break.
Ultimately, remember, when Scott McTominay starts getting more run on the back end, they're going to be a lot better.
There we go.
Let's clip that off and put that one and hold on to it. Look, I think this is a personality-driven thing. Joe Maddon must not be certain people's cup of tea in terms of what he does with the lineup, how sometimes he seems like he's the smartest guy in the room in postgame. That's the only place to see me coming from. Because when you look at the resume, you look what he's achieved, what issue could you have with this guy and what he's doing as a job for the manager of the Chicago Cubs?
Because occasionally he makes some poor in-game decisions, and sure, everyone does.
Who does it?
Playoffs.
100%. I think this conversation is one of these silly conversations that pop up every once in a while, and you know, the idea that you could look at his resume with the Cubs in the last now almost four full seasons and, compare that to the previous 108 seasons or whatever it was. And it's ridiculous that
he's 40 games over in August since he became the manager.
This is the best team in the National League right now. And we're talking about his job security 2 years off of winning the World
Series.
Coaches
got to make a controversial decision. Someone let him take jump shots at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he almost lost his job for that. That was a dark time at Notre Dame. I mean, Dwayne Casey on line one with Toronto Raptors, who's no longer there anymore, is probably saying, hey, guys, they sat around in Toronto and talked about me like this, and look what happened
there.
And
I had the best record in the East.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, he didn't win a championship like our guy Joe Maddon has, but yet still, this thing is part of the culture now where if you're not happy in that moment, hey, let's go get somebody better. Who do you want? Who are you going to go out there and get that's better than Joe Maddon? Yeah. Who do you want for the job? I'd love to know.
And his bosses love him. So he's not going anywhere.
It's a non-issue.
All right, tonight our long national nightmare comes to an end. Bears preseason will be over. Then it's decision time. Will Ryan Pace have any surprises when he and Matt Nagy unveil their 53-man roster? And is this team actually ready to face Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you every authentic fan night. We designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Final postcard camp brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Preseason ends tonight. Bears and Bills at Soldier Field. Bears announced that roughly 532 players will not play tonight. Meanwhile, decision time is Saturday. Will Ryan Pace make any surprises with his cuts? What do you guys think?
Well, with 532 guys, you better start cutting like right now.
Quickly. Quickly.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, the name I see popping up is Kevin White. I'm not sure why guys wouldn't
see. I think he's going to play tonight. He's not on the list of inactives.
I'd be surprised if you cut Kevin White. Just because he's shown some reason to believe.
And his money's guaranteed.
Yeah, and which is a huge part of this thing. Talk about the business side. There's your business. I think this guy can contribute this year. I know I'm going to regret saying this at some point, but I feel like, look, it's a very talented wide receiver core, but it's a very unproven wide receiver core, at least in a Bears uniform. So this guy could be a guy that contributes. I'm not ready to write him off. I think he can play. I love Anthony Miller. I love Trey Burton, who's not a wideout, but he's a target. Allen Robinson coming off injury is great, but who knows with these guys. Does Taylor Gabriel make you say, I'm so confident, I'm good? A lot of talent. A lot of unproven guys. I'd love to see Kevin White make the roster.
You know, he finally had a good game, and you just hate to see him possibly.
Maybe that's it. We got a little bit of something.
Yeah,
which I'm riding with
the promising
preseason game, though.
Keep playing that video on a loop, guys, because that's about all we've got from Kevin White and positivity.
Yeah, and for him to go somewhere else and produce would you know, be kind of a dagger.
Yeah.
He certainly looks better. Like, he's moving better. And everything we hear is he just looks more like a football player rather than just some guy out there that's struggling.
Well, but the problem really hasn't been that he hasn't been a football player. It's that he's never been on the field.
You know, stay healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it'll be interesting to see. I don't really think there's going to be anything outside of Kevin White that's really going to be newsworthy in terms of cuts. That's the one I'd be focused on. But outside of that, I think it's non-news to me. It's not something I'm really focused on. What I'm focused on is, can this team come out there and be competitive and try and steal a win at Lambeau in Week 1? What kind of Bears team we're going to have? I think there's never been a bigger question mark around a team, I think, coming in with, can they be a 500 team? Are they going to lose a game less than they did last year?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Tough early schedule, too. I mean, I think you'll get a fairly good indicator, you know, by what's Patriots game 6. You'll know pretty much by then whether this team is any good. And as we were talking about before, it's going to be a rough division this year, by the way.
Yeah, it's very
challenging.
They've
got some really good, yeah.
Also, Aaron Rodgers has finalized his huge money contract extension that will keep him with the Packers for well into the 2020s. But the Chicago Tribune always likes to have fun with him today as they ran a headline that says, Wisconsin man gets pay raise. Very funny stuff. But he signed his record contract extension. Look, this guy's a beast, man. He's probably the best quarterback in football right now, and it's going to be an amazing challenge to go up there and try.
I love how people keep saying this. I mean, Tom Brady still plays football. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's the second best player in football, which obviously is still a great compliment. But I've been hearing a lot of people call him the best player in football. Like, Tom Brady still puts on a uniform in New England. Yes, he's older, but come on. Let's still have respect. But I will say, what Rodgers brings to Green Bay, if you take him off that roster, and yes, you can say this for a lot of quarterbacks, but he is the only reason why there is such a fear of the Green Bay Packers this year. It's solely because that guy's healthy.
Yeah, and he's not even close to Brady's age. He's, what, 7 or 8
yeah.
years old?
Yeah, that's the thing, youth, yeah.
He's going to be if the Packers win, he'll be the reason why. But remember the record of new coaches winning against the Packers in the first game. So you know maybe Nagy has him ready and we get a surprise.
I love that fantastic stat, but it feels like it's Week 1.
It's what I'm
clinging
to.
You're throwing Trubisky up there with this team that is so unproven. I love that stat. It's a great one to hold on to. This one could go a lot of different ways. I veer towards it's going to get really ugly up there in Lambeau for the Bears. I do believe that.
Really?
I do.
Well, you got a fairly inexperienced defense. I mean, you know, depends on how much Roquan Smith, how much of the signals that he ends up actually calling from start to finish.
There with that defense.
Yeah, and then you're facing Rodgers in your opening game. Not a real good menu. I mean, I got to be honest. My guess is Trubisky will have to score a lot of points.
I think Trubisky's going to struggle wildly, and I don't think that's a great Packers defense by any means. I think the environment.
Hush yourself.
I think the level. I know you don't want to hear anything negative about your guy.
All right. It's the unofficial start of fall as college football gets into full swing tonight. But with an offseason of scandals, do people still enjoy this sport?
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/Baseball Night in Chicago.
Oh, yes, football's back. Time to draft your Yahoo Fantasy Football team. Sign up now. Get your draft on at Yahoo.com/Fantasy Football. All right, college football is back this weekend. There'll be several good games, starting tonight with Northwestern at Purdue. Clayton Thorson, who's 8 months out from a torn ACL in their bowl victory, the Music City Bowl. He just led the Cats onto the field in full pads and is going through warmups, but yet they have not cleared him and said he is starting. We'll wait to see what happens right when they get ready to kick this thing off at 7 o'clock. But there's also Notre Dame, Michigan.
Glad you led with Notre Dame there. I'm proud of you. That's the headliner of college football offering this weekend.
I don't think so.
It's a really big game.
South Dakota State's got a big deal.
I'll be there for this Notre Dame Michigan game. I love college football. It really gets me going.
Me too.
I love NFL, but right there on the same wavelength with me is college football. The pageantry of it, I like the way the game is played. Notre Dame is like the Chicago Bears for me, with a lot of question marks and starts at the quarterback position.
The fact that there's all these off-the-field scandals, Urban Meyer, and there's been a whole bunch of stuff going on, does it bother you at all as a fan?
It bothers me to watch Ohio State, I'll tell you that much. But, you know, college football has had problems for a long, long time. This has been a terrible offseason for them. I do have an issue with the sport itself.
I think it's just getting worse. I mean, that's my problem with it is that, you know, it was all the scandals of go back to the beginning of college football. They do in every sport. But the thing that's troubling to me is you got a number of Big Ten schools now. The Big Ten was, you know, at least different from the SEC. It wasn't loaded with problems year after, you know, year in and year out. And now it looks like pretty much every conference is just playing strictly for cash, and I think that's going to only lead to more and more stories like we've got at Ohio State.
Yeah, Big Ten's home of some of the most recent biggest scandals.
Maryland, Penn State, Ohio State.
Yeah, Penn State's the biggest scandal in all of college sports, you could argue. Look, college sports have always had issues, so there's no surprise there. I'm going to continue to support. I will not be rooting for Ohio State.
All right, you think Notre Dame wins big?
I think Notre Dame rolls. 100.
Wow. Go Blue.
That's a wrap. I'm with you. That's a wrap for Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Get it done, Harbaugh. Baseball night in Chicago is next. Then Red Sox, White Sox at 7. Go Maize and Blue. Have a great evening. We'll
go see Kansas.
You